If you're a parent who wants to learn tools, tips, and strategies to become a better parent and to teach your kids life skills and connect with them on a deeper level, then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Kate Godfrey, and welcome to the Authenticate podcast, where we'll discuss all things parenting, from boundaries to boredom, discipline to disrespect, and pretty much everything in between. I'm excited to support, encourage, and challenge you no matter where you are in your parenting journey and share mine with you along the way. Let's get started. Friends, welcome back. I am so thrilled today to be sharing my very first interview with you in the second season of Authenticate. My guest today is Olivia Duffy. Olivia is a warrior mama who has educated herself on all things healing and holistic health. She is passionate about what she has learned and believes in, and she shares a lot of what she has discovered with you on the podcast today. Now, I have to throw in there that I did this interview with Olivia almost a year ago. So when I was listening to it, I was remembering things that we talked about and laughing and nodding my head and texting Olivia as I was going through. So I am so excited for you to be listening in on our conversation today. I hope you love it as much as I did. She is definitely loud about what matters to her. And that also happens to be the title of her podcast. So after you listen to this, go listen to her podcast, Be Loud About What Matters. It is amazing. But the biggest thing to take away from this, some things you may agree with, some things you may not, but the biggest takeaway is to remember that perspective and mindset are key, not only in our parenting, but in educating ourselves about the world around us and the messages we have been taught and are being taught. So I hope you, again, enjoy listening to our conversation as much as I did going down memory lane. I hope you just have a lot of takeaways for yourself. Please share this episode if it resonates with you and enjoy. Here's Olivia.
Hi, Olivia.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this. I have been stalking your page, not in a creepy way.
Not
totally normal way, but I just love your content. And I was like, I'm going to reach out to her and just pick her brain on all these things. I think you're super fascinating and I love your perspective and your angle. And I love that you're not afraid to be loud about what matters, which we're going to talk about.
Yes. Thank you so much. And thank you for the kind words. And it's so nice to connect with other like-minded mamas and people on Instagram.
Yes. Really. Makes really you feel a little less crazy.
Yes, exactly.
So let's start with sharing with everybody about your journey, where you started and why you're passionate about moms and parenting, responsive parenting, medical freedom, whichever topic you want to start with, but where that came from and why you decided to have this platform.
Yeah. So I will say I have always definitely felt like the black sheep. Like I've always felt different than everyone else. And I think it was kind of noticeable within my family and growing up. Like I was not one of the popular kids. I loved reading books. I was very observative. Mm-hmm. A lot of people called me an old soul. And as I grew older, I started leaning more towards like holistic minded stuff. Mm-hmm. And my family was very thrown off by that. I come from a very medicalized family in every sense. My mom was a nurse. My dad worked for Big Pharma.
Wow.
And so when I started going towards like holistic health and holistic healing, there was a lot of skeptical people in my family, a lot of questions, a lot of, is that even a real thing? And so, yeah, that's where I started out. I started out doing health coaching and then I moved into some functional medicine coaching. So I did a health coaching certification program. And then the functional medicine part was, I wanted to learn more about the science. The health coaching was more so about like the mindset. And we did talk about nutrition, but we didn't talk about the science-y portion of it. So I kind of put those two together. So I did health coaching for a while and so yeah, in the back of my mind, I always had the holistic healing portion of it. And then as I was just telling you before we hopped on to record, I have always worked with children my whole life. I also have a background in psychology. That's my college degree is in. And so I have taught and worked with all different ages. So essentially from birth to second grade, I had a bunch of different classrooms. And then I just wanted to do more with families. I felt I knew what I was doing. I liked what I was doing, but I still wanted to do more. And I'd always, since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a mom. Like I have always known that my whole entire life. And so that kind of segued into, okay, maybe I can work with moms and babies more. How can I do that? So I started to look into that and try and figure that out. And I decided to take a birth and postpartum doula training. And that is really where my eyes were open to a lot. And I happened to be doing that at the same time as being pregnant myself, which again, really opened my eyes to a lot, gave me a better understanding. But then starting to attend births in hospital settings and then also work with moms during the postpartum period, really, again, I mean, it's opening your eyes to so many different things. What birth can look like, what birth looks like in hospitals, the physiological birth, what it should look like, and just kind of seeing how medicalized everything was, knowing that I was far more holistic minded and things could be different.
Right.
And there was actually a lot of fear mongering within the birth space, which I was really not keen to, like, I just really was not a fan of. And so I made my own birth preferences. I don't like calling it a birth plan because birth is not linear.
For sure.
It's not. And so I had my daughter in 2019, and I really, really advocated for myself throughout my pregnancy. And then having her, I had a very positive birth experience. And then it was like having her kind of just turned a light on that I kind of knew was always there. Like I was saying, just, I was far more holistic minded, definitely thought differently than most people. And so I just started asking a lot of questions and really just being more mindful of everything. And I might get emotional. I'm talking about this. I just feel like she like saved me, which might sound crazy to some people who are like really not attached in every sense, but she made me, I changed, I transformed, I grew. I am no longer the person that I was prior to having her, because I realized when I was pregnant, like, it's not just about me anymore. It's about us. I'm growing a child who I'm going to be bringing into this world, who I will be raising in this world. And everything changed and my priority shifted, and I was no longer about people pleasing or any of those things or being quiet about things that I had previously. She really just changed my entire world in the best way possible. And I'm so, so thankful for her, truly. And so, yeah, I feel like everything, it was kind of just, everything just segued into each other. And now the things that I care about the most, the work that I care about the most, and the things that I'm most passionate about, are, they all fall under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
It's just, what it comes down to is really, really being in tune with yourself and healing, and also sharing resources and information with people. Because one of the things that I talk about oftentimes with other moms that I know or other people who are in the same space was that we have so much at our fingertips that older generations did not. And we have the ability to educate ourselves. And so, like, older generations, I remember the advice that I was getting or the comments that I was getting, and I literally just sat there and I would look at them. And I've said this before, I don't know which podcast I said it on, if it was mine or a different one, but I remember talking to my dad, and we were talking about co-sleeping, because that's not a norm in our family and or society, I should say, here in America. And I was told, well, she's probably going to cry and it's really going to suck for a little while, but she'll be okay. And I just remember sitting across from them, looking them dead in the face, saying, that goes against everything that I believe in. I will not be doing that. And it's just, yeah, that's, we'll talk about the whole, the male portion later on.
Yeah. Yeah. How is your relationship with your parents now? Like, are they still like, still positive? They let you have your opinions. They have their opinions, or is it?
Oh yeah. I mean,
okay, they, good.
They were never trying to like, tell me what I should do. I think it was more so just like suggestions, but they also realized that I was,
you're strong-willed,
vehemently opposed to all the above.
Yeah. And I love that you didn't, you know, kind of cave to the pressure, for lack of better words. You did what felt right to you.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think I connected with your page because we have a lot of similarities in terms of our ideas. Like when I was pregnant with Trinity, my first, that's when I don't even know how I discovered it, but I discovered like the business of being born.
Yes.
And I watched that and I was my jaw just hit the floor, and I told my husband and I was like, Nate, you have got to watch this. And I think we watch it together or like whatever. And I was like, this, I didn't know, like,
yeah,
it changed everything. And so that's when I was like, this is, you know, the birth plan. And I was able to have her in the hospital with a midwife, but no meds. And I know everybody, you know, like you said, it's not linear. Things can go haywire. And so this is no judgment on anybody else who had C-sections or like anything like that. And then I had my second the same way, but she took longer and the nurse in the hospital was putting pressure on me like, well, you know, if it takes too long, they could lose oxygen. And you know, I was talking to Nate and getting emotional. I was like, well, what should we do? Should I just get the epidural? He's like, no, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. And it turned out fine, but it's that push, you know, take the med, push them through all the things. And I just felt so much more empowered because I educated myself.
Because you knew.
To do that. Yes. But I didn't know. And I know this is something you're very passionate about and we can talk about, but I didn't know when they were babies and toddlers, I didn't know anything about the vaccination. So they just all got them when they were supposed to. And, you know, thank God there was no negative side effects. But now that I'm older and they're older and there's more research, and I have a girlfriend whose son got vaccinated and like his speech shut down. Now it has all returned, but she fully believes it was because of vaccinations initially.
Mm-hmm. And it's wild because I remember when I was pregnant, that's, I was looking for all of the things. So I had taken the birth and postpartum doula training. So I was very much already in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to keep learning more and keep learning more, but I was looking for more holistic minded podcasts, books, anything. And I had a hard time finding it at first. So I was really like digging through that and figuring it out, but you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right. And you can't beat yourself up later. Just make the best decision you can. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And so there are definitely things that I would have done differently and will do differently in the future, but it's literally all about really asking questions, paying attention to what your gut and your intuition is telling you.
Yes.
And also when it comes to pregnancy and birth, I will say this over and over and over again. It is so much so about your mindset.
Yes.
It's about your mindset.
Yes.
Because going into my pregnancy, or excuse me, going into my birth, people were asking me what my plan was and this and that, and X, Y, and Z. And I said, yeah, I'm just going to give birth. What do you mean? And they're like,
just going to give birth. That's what I mean.
And so I had family members saying things like, oh, you're just going to grit through the pain.
Yep.
And I was like, well, if you view it that way, sure. But when I genuinely loved giving birth. Like I loved it. I can't wait to give birth again.
I cannot say the same. It really hurt.
No, because it was like, I didn't know what it was going to feel like.
Yeah.
So obviously there was like that unknown portion of it, but I was like, once I was in labor, I was like, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I just kept telling myself, and honestly, in my mind, I knew I wasn't going to get an epidural because I would have freaked out if I wouldn't have been able to move, because that was my biggest.
Yeah. That terrifies me.
Yes.
I'd be the whatever small percentage that like gets paralyzed for the rest of their life. That would be me. So I was like, no, right. Can't do it.
Well, so it was that. And it was also like, I needed to move when I was in labor. Yes. I was moving the whole time.
Yeah.
I was not sitting down. I wasn't in the tub. Thought I wanted to be in the tub, wanted nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I would want a playlist. I made playlists, wanted nothing to do with it. I literally just wanted to be up and moving around, swaying all the things. And so, yeah, it's really just being in tune with yourself and believing that you are capable of it. It is
right.
The biggest mindset. And I remember telling myself before we went to the hospital, I also had this fear that if I went to the hospital, my labor would stop because I just don't like hospitals. That's the other thing that I didn't mention. I genuinely just don't like them. I know that they're necessary when there's trauma and someone really needs help. I know that. But for me personally, I just don't enjoy going to hospitals. I just don't like them. They're too sterile. They make me feel uncomfortable. And so, yeah, I just, in my head, I was like, they don't have epidurals here. Like before we got there, I just told myself, I was like, they don't have those and I can do this.
Yep.
So yeah, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been a lot of things where the holistic mindset is really, and I think my intuition just pushed me even more so to be like, there's more to question. There's more here. And I'm going to follow what my intuition is telling me. And I'm going to educate myself and keep digging. Always keep digging.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I don't think people dig enough. They take the answer that's given. They're like, oh, okay, that's good. And there's never any further digging.
Yes.
Questioning. And that's how I think we get a lot of our society gets itself in trouble.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Wholeheartedly.
Yes. When it came to vaccines with your daughter, so you did not get all of them, most of them. And like, how did that conversation go with your doctor? And like,
so that was, I don't like to like talk about her status per se.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely initially had a different plan than we ended up doing.
Okay.
And so I brought her to her doctor, and her doctor was like really pushy for them. And it made me super uncomfortable. And I basically just like kept shutting her down.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started really diving into it and looking into it and then comparing. Mm-hmm. This was the most fascinating piece for me, was comparing the amount of vaccines that our grandparents versus our parents versus us. Versus
that's
what
a great
schedule
point
is, right. What the schedule is now. And it was also very bizarre, but my family was like super involved and like had all these questions. And I'm like, this is legitimately none of your business. What a parent chooses to do with their child in terms of their vaccination status is no one's business, but theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that it was just like an open topic of conversation even before these last 2 years was really something that I was just like, why are you even talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Not your choice, nothing to do with you. And I'm very comfortable and confident in the choices that I've made because I have taken the time to read and understand things and look at research. And I don't even know, I have one of my biggest things is I have an entire library, literally like a library full of books. If you come to my house, they're all out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I can't stop adding to, is just continuing to add more.
Yes.
Because you learn something new every single time.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I am not sure if you've heard of it and or seen it, but I watched The Truth About Vaccines.
Not yet.
So it's with Ty and Charlene Bollinger, I think is their last name.
Is he the one who does the one on cancer too?
Yes. Same.
Yes.
People.
Okay. I saw his first one on cancer. That was fascinating.
Yes. Very right.
Yes.
So fascinating. So I had already had an inkling, a gut feeling that something was up with that. And so then I really started looking into it. So I started with books. And then I don't know where I saw that, who shared it with me, but I watched it. You purchased the series, and I watched it, and it is fascinating. And I did more digging after that. So I watched the series. I have them literally in my computer, notes and notes and notes on every single episode,
wow,
and people that I wanted to look up and books that I wanted to read. And I can send you a list of the books that I have, but you read these books and you talk to people and there's no unknowing what you learn.
Right. Absolutely.
And so that was the other biggest thing is, so I started sharing information that I was learning, like actual stats and data. Mm-hmm. And I had so much pushback from random people online. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to stop talking about this just because it makes you feel uncomfortable. So I started sharing things. I started doing more digging. And it is wild. Like it really is wild. And so this, again, ties back into the holistic health thing initially, is that we live in a profit-driven world.
Yes, we do.
It is profit over people. Yes. Everywhere you look.
Yes.
And if you really look, I should say, or if you're really paying attention to what's going on mm-hmm. around you. Mm-hmm. And I could even dive into the whole infertility conversation.
Oh my gosh.
And I tend to stay away from certain things that are, well, I stay away from them for a little bit until I feel comfortable with what I'm going to say right. about them.
Right.
So it's all profit driven. It makes me sick to my stomach most of the time. And that, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I have no problem talking about it, is because I'm not trying to hurt anybody with the information that I'm sharing. I'm not right. trying to shame anybody. I'm just putting it out there so people know that they have the opportunity to learn more. They have the opportunity to do more research, and the fact that they have a choice. You always have a choice. In every single day that you are alive, you have a choice.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't want to acknowledge or understand or take on that responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's your responsibility. Taking right. radical responsibility has been one of the biggest things for me. And I used to not do that. Like, mm-hmm. I'll admit that. I used to not do that. I was walking around expecting like things to magically cure me, not taking responsibility for my own health. But when you peel back all the layers, it's really up to you.
And oh yeah, of course.
And then when you have kids,
oh yeah,
it's your responsibility and you're their model. They are watching you every day, what you do, what you don't do.
Yes.
And like you said before, we are living in a society of people who blindly just follow things, and it's disheartening.
Yes. And well, we also live in a society that blame shift.
Yes.
I mean, we don't take responsibility. We don't take accountability. And, you know, that crosses over into parenting too.
Yes.
When do you hold your children responsible? What do you hold them responsible for? Do you make excuses for them and their behavior as the parent? Or do you hold your children, you know, their feet to the fire when they use inappropriate words, have inappropriate behavior, and yeah. talk through them with that and teach to it, or do you just let them do what they want? And then they grow up and they go out in the world and they're still doing what they want. And
right.
the impact is greater.
Right. I think the biggest thing, I actually was just having a conversation with another mom about this, is that so many people fail to realize that when you as the parent are mad, or you see your child as acting out mm-hmm. or bad, or mm-hmm. being, what's the word people use, defiant mm-hmm. or anything, mm-hmm. it really is more so to do with what's going on for you as the parent, mm-hmm. what's triggering that in you. And then also they're acting out, I'm saying this in air quotes, mm-hmm. is about them having an unmet need, mm-hmm. which people fail to realize that, like, our children have needs. They have relational needs that they need to have met every single day. Mm-hmm. And so if we as parents have unmet needs ourselves, then we're going to be triggered. If we have unhealed trauma, if we have whatever is going on in our day, we have to be paying attention to that. We have to be in tune with that. And again, this is a topic that you and I talked about briefly before hopping on to record, is that our society is so detached in every sense.
Yeah.
And it's literally starts during pregnancy. It starts living in a society that tells you that your body's incapable of giving birth, that you need medical interventions in order to give birth properly, all these different things. And so then that carries through during your pregnancy, carries through during your birth, carries through during your postpartum period. And then that's passed on to our children, because if you're detached as the mom mm-hmm. or the dad, either one, then you're bringing a child into a world where you're then detached from them, and you're further pushing that detachment, which right. is why I have no issue talking about the importance of attachment parenting, responsive parenting, respectful parenting, whatever phrase you want, word you want to use, because our children need and deserve to be responded to. And we biologically as mothers are hardwired to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we have a medical professional telling us that we should leave our baby in another room to cry by themselves, or we should do X, Y, and Z, it's not about what's best for the baby.
Right.
It's just not at all. So, I mean, there, again, are so many layers to this, but it literally, detachment starts when you're pregnant. And so you can either choose to lean into that and pay attention to your pregnancy and pay attention to what's going on and educate yourself on what birth looks like. And then it moves into the postpartum period, but moms need support too. If moms don't have support, then they feel like they're doing everything themselves, which in a lot of cases they are, because our society is not set up as mother baby friendly here in America. Right. And that's something that I could go on and on and on about.
We do lots of podcasts.
Yes.
And they're fed misinformation as they're pregnant. And then, like you said, giving birth and on up.
Yes. It just keeps going.
Right.
And so that's why I don't like when, especially over these last 2 years, where people have said like, or made fun of people who do your own research or for like saying that, there's literally nothing wrong with asking questions.
No, there's not.
There's nothing wrong with asking questions. There's nothing wrong with educating yourself further. And honestly, a lot of the people who claim that they're experts have no idea what they're talking about. And I have friends and family members who are nurses, who some who are like fully indoctrinated, see no issues with it. Some who had to leave the field because of what happened over these last few years. I have a lot of people like that, actually. And it's just, it's mind blowing to me that there are so many people who just, again, just blindly follow. But that's one thing that I will say, if you ask any nurse or anyone who's gone to med school, what their education on vaccines is, they know the schedule. That's it.
Hmm.
They're not discussing what's in them. They're not discussing how many of them, how that's changed over time. They're not discussing any of that. And the same goes for nutrition.
Yes.
I think they have.
Yes.
It's a very minimal amount of hours for nutrition.
I've heard that.
Yes. And I've heard it from so many people. So to sit here and to have other people tell you that you're crazy or you don't know what you're talking about or X, Y, and Z, it's like, okay, the people who are supposedly supposed to know all about these things have zero idea.
Yeah.
Zero idea. Yeah. And there have been many, many situations where there have been mothers who have educated their doctors on vaccinations or brought something in to ask questions. And their doctor's like, oh, I don't know. Like, let me see that. And some doctors have changed their minds about them.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And doctors get kickbacks from Big Pharma when they get, you know, they use a certain medications.
Yes.
So there's no questioning there. You get more money. I don't say anything. I just continue on my merry little way. And it just continues to affect the populace.
Right.
Which is disturbing. And like when you said about not asking questions, I mean, some people may think this is an extreme example, but I mean, go back to Hitler, go back to Germany. You do what I say. Guess what? Guess whose fault it is? It's their fault. And we're going to make sure we push the propaganda to make sure everyone knows it's their fault, believes it's their fault. And then we're just going to slowly push more and push more and push more. And then if you don't turn them in, or if you do turn, you know, if either way you turn them in, you get rewarded, you don't, and we find out, you're punished.
That's the scary part.
Nobody honestly questions anything because they're terrified.
Yeah. Well, that's the other, it's living in fear. If you choose to not live in fear, then you're seen as someone who's not compassionate, who doesn't care about people. It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic, and people will attack you for that.
Yes. You're not supposed to rock the boat. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut. You're supposed to go with whatever you're being told. Put your head down. Yep. We know better. We have the money. We have the power. You just do what you're told.
Yeah.
I get it.
That doesn't work for me.
Same. Yeah.
It is interesting to see the people who have either woken up Mm-hmm. Or people who have ignored that, who kind of know that it's there, but don't want to be ostracized in any way.
Well, I think some people are just comfortable too. They're not, they don't want to ask the questions. They're just going to be like, well, it's, you should just trust XYZ or trust this person, trust this expert. They know what's right. And I don't need to question that. And it's fine.
Well, that all ties into how you're parented, which I think is the fascinating piece.
Yes.
Because
yes.
if your mom and dad are walking around telling you, you ask a question and they say, because I said so, mm-hmm. you're not going to keep asking questions.
Yeah.
They're just going to be like, okay. And then when it comes to anything else, it's the same
thing. Now, if I've already told you why, and I've said it three times and you ask me the fourth, it's because I said so. It's because of the same reason I just gave you three times.
Yeah.
I explained it.
I heard you said it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about your podcast, Be Loud About What Matters, and share whatever you'd like to share about that and the different topics you cover, which is a lot of what we talked about here, but you know, medical freedom. And I love your quote that you have on your Instagram that a lot of people in the world think that, I'm going to not get it verbatim, but the way to better health is at the bottom of a pill or prescription.
Yeah.
Pill bottle.
Yes. Yeah, I actually had, I don't remember who it was. One of like the bigger, I think it was like Washington Post or something reached out and they're like, do you want to comment on your Instagram post? Cause we're going to be sharing about this.
Really?
Wow. I ignored it. Cause I think they're just fishing.
Yes.
I think true health will never be found in a vial, I think is what I said, or the bottom of a vial. And it's factual. Mm-hmm. It's not, it will not be. I will say this again, there is absolutely a time and a place for conventional medicine. Conventional medicine has saved many lives. I will admit that wholeheartedly. I am not anti medicine. What I am anti is profit over people. Mm-hmm. And so when someone goes in and they have an ailment or these symptoms or whatever it may be, and a doctor doesn't ask about your diet or your lifestyle or anything, and they just suggest a pill.
Right.
No, that doesn't work. But again, like we talked about, a lot of people don't want to take responsibility. So they will have these ailments, these aches, these symptoms that they're dealing with, and they're just going to think that it's part of life, or they're going to want a quick fix for it. Right. And most of the time, whatever the pill is just a Band-Aid.
Yes.
You're not getting to the root cause. And I also have a very different mindset on like what being sick is. And I'm saying sick in air quotes, because when your body is experiencing symptoms, I don't view that as illness. Mm-hmm. That's your body releasing toxins. Mm-hmm. It's your body getting rid of whatever it needs. It's your body doing what it needs to do to get whatever is inside that's irritating it out. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, there are times and places where antibiotics may be necessary.
Right.
I choose to stay away from those unless it was like 1,000% necessary, because that destroys your gut and your microbiome. And it takes mm-hmm. months and months and months to heal from that. And my health journey, I'm going to be healing for a very long time because of the medicalization that I dealt with up until like the end of college. Hmm. And so, but I'm working on that because I'm trying to set my daughter up to not have to do all the healing that I have to do. And so you're not going to find health at the bottom of a vial. But again, our society is not set up to support people to lead healthy lifestyles, like the 9-to-5 work grind, working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. It's just not, it's not. And it's really even more so horrible for women.
Yes. I would agree.
It's like our bodies are not built to do this. And I'm not saying that men should be overworked, that they should be working these hours either, because I don't agree with that either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's wild to me that people will just burn themselves out on both ends, but not take into consideration what they're eating every day, what they're consuming. And this applies to even what you and I talk about, like on social media. We are not supposed to have access to all the information that we do at all times. Mm-hmm. Like it's too much for our brains.
Right.
Our brains are not supposed to do this. Right. And so even people within art in the same headspace as us, we get burnt out. I just had a friend who was like, I'm just deleting social media. I'm deleting it because I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's overwhelming.
You're living in a state of fight or flight.
Yes.
Which most of the time we are in our society. And so there are so many things that you can do for your health every single day that it's a choice to do.
Right.
And you have that choice.
Right. Right.
So when people say things like, well, I am not a gym member. I don't have a gym, or I can't afford a gym, or whatever. Go for a walk outside. Go run outside. Go be outside.
Right.
Or people who say things like healthy food is expensive. You know, it's more expensive when you pay for all of your medication because you don't take care of yourself and you don't eat food that your body needs.
Right. Well, and I think society sends a mixed message. It's a juxtaposition. It's like one minute it's diet pills and organic food and health food and the latest workout craze or, you know, whatever it is. And then the next it's McDonald's and fast food, and there's no portion control at restaurants. I mean, plates are getting bigger and bigger, and the food is, you know, deep fried and all this stuff. And so people are overwhelmed and they're getting that mixed message, like, which direction should I go? And then, like, you know, America, work, 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 get to the top of the ladder, break the glass ceiling, all of the things. Don't quit. Don't let anybody beat you, beat out the competition, but make sure you take time to meditate. And make sure you take time for yourself, and make sure you take time for your kids, and make sure, we wonder why people are stressed and they're anxious, and we have depression and anxiety, and suicide rates are going up, all the things. Yeah.
I think if our society as a whole decided that we just weren't going to do it anymore, everything would change.
You would come to a screeching halt. Some people would be so mad because they would be losing money.
Yeah, that'd be.
And again, it's profit over people.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't do it. But what do you care more about?
Right.
Do you care more about living a life that you are healthy, that you are happy, that you are genuinely enjoying, that you get to spend time with your kids, that you get to spend time with your family?
Right. Quality of life.
Care about money.
Right.
What's
and
that
things,
money?
Gonna, stuff.
This might sound harsh, but what's that money going to do when you're dead?
Nothing.
It's just. And I'm glad that you said like the whole piece on like the diet and the workout craze and all of that, because that's the other biggest thing that I tell people is like, there's no one size fits all,
right?
There's no one size fits all. So whatever medication they're telling you, sure, it might work for someone as a Band-Aid, but it also might be completely horrible for you.
Or your body might get used to it after a while, and then you're going to need a larger dose or a different med.
Right. But there's no one size fits all when it comes to nutrition. There's no one size fits all when it comes to workouts. That's the thing that our healthcare system, I call it sick care because it's not healthcare, but that's what it's lacking. It's lacking individualized care. But I will say, this is not necessarily the fault of doctors and nurses. Mm-hmm. It's how this system is set up. It like these doctors don't have time because these doctors need to go from however many patients in a
day.
That's
true. That is true.
So there's a part of it that it's like, it's not their fault.
Right.
They're in an indoctrinated system that is all about profit, and they have to see X amount of patients a day.
Yes.
Nurses. And I've talked to so many nurses, and I also talked to a midwife who I had on my podcast, and she was saying to me, she was like, nursing school is paid for hazing. And that's what she said. And that really stuck with me. And I was like, wow, but that's accurate. Like people, the nurses and doctors, I'm not saying that it's their fault. Like, I think there are things that they could definitely educate themselves on more, but the system is not set up.
Right. When you're in it and that's your career and that's how you support your family. Like, what are you going to do? Dump it. And
yes, right. But it's also not set up for anyone to succeed. It's set up for them to be burnt out.
Right.
And I have to reach this quota to get this bonus.
Yes.
You know, so yes. Our whole society is just a little screwed up.
A little bit.
I want to put it that way. So sorry, that was a bit of a
no, 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 no. I was going to ask you, so when did you start your podcast?
I actually started my podcast in February of 2020.
Okay. All right. So a little over two years now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I initially started it, it was the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was strictly focusing on trying to conceive, pregnancy, birth, postpartum. That was all I was talking about. And then I didn't make the switch until last year to Be Loud About What Matters. That one, I think it was this time or around this time last year, actually.
Okay.
That I switched it to Be Loud About What Matters because I felt like I was talking about it on social media and I was so vocal about it and I connected with so many awesome people. And I was like, this is probably one of the only places where I'm not going to get censored. So, which I could still, but I was like, I'm just going to start talking about it here because I also feel like sometimes too, I have a hard time putting my thoughts into words. So sometimes it's easier for me to just talk about them.
Yes.
So yeah, I switched it over then and I changed it to holistic health and healing, but still talking about pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and motherhood, but just the importance of true informed consent and medical freedom because of everything that's going on in the world.
Right.
And I became involved in Freedom Keepers, which okay. I'm not sure if you're familiar with.
Yes.
But that started in California, and now there's chapters in, I don't even know how many states at this point, but I became involved in that in the Massachusetts chapter. And so I was more involved in the bills that are being tossed around and written and fighting those and going on the Zoom calls because we can't attend anything in person and speaking in that regard. So I think that was really the driving factor behind that because it was already there. It was just, right. I hadn't switched over my podcast to that just yet. So that was a decision behind that. And again, I really attribute it all to my daughter because this is not just for me. It's for her, for future kids. And it's the other thing that I say, I don't say it often, but it is, we're fighting for the people who are not paying attention just yet.
Yes.
Because we're fighting for your kids too. Because the fascinating thing that I have found when it comes to the Freedom Keepers portion is that almost every single person on there who is signing up a time slot and waiting to speak for, we had to sit on calls for like 15 hours.
Oh my gosh.
It's not like it's something where you can just go and do a little time slot. They don't set it up that way. Like you have to be on the phone waiting to hear your name to speak. So they don't make it easy. And all, the majority of the people on these calls are people who are homeschooling their children.
Mm.
So this isn't even necessarily going to impact us because we've made the decision to homeschool our children, but we're still fighting for your children to have rights.
Yes.
And that's the part that I don't understand how people don't see because our kids aren't going to school. We've made the decision to not go to school because of the ridiculous policies that they put in place. And the other portion, which we're going to kind of be moving into that anyways, is just the men having decisions over things, men who don't carry, grow, and give birth to babies, some of whom of these legislators and politicians don't have their own children, really rubs me the wrong way. Very much so. Or the lack of men who will speak up for their children and their wives or women in general.
You wonder what the home life looks like.
Yes.
I guess that's all I'll say on that.
But again,
maybe they're just trying to keep their jobs, you know, and get reelected. Maybe they're great husbands and fathers, but if they say certain things, they know it's going to not go so well. So they keep their mouth shut.
Yes. But again, I think that's, again, profit driven.
Yeah, of course. And it's still a choice, right?
Yes.
At the end of the day, at the end of your life, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? What do you really want to have accomplished? I mean, like you said, what are you taking all the money with you? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the house that you have and your car?
Or what if your children are injured by something or your wife?
Yeah.
And then you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I think some people are worried about leaving a legacy as well. Like, oh, I wouldn't be remembered as.
Yes.
All right. You know, just like get over yourself, really.
You know, I actually had a really deep conversation with my friend recently about that because we were talking about death.
Sounds uplifting. But it puts life into perspective.
Well, yes. And so that's the thing is that we were talking about funerals and how we don't like funerals and they're weird. And sometimes when people pass away, it's like, even if they weren't great people, people spin them to be a really positive person and all of these things. And this is not to take away from their life.
Yeah.
It's just perspective.
Right.
Because like we've been saying a few times tonight, it's a choice. You have a choice every day as to what you're going to be doing, the work you're going to be doing, the words you're speaking, who you're spending your time with.
Right.
And that needs to be taken into consideration. I personally, I might be one of the few people, but I don't care about all the money that I make and or don't make.
Right.
I want my daughter to be happy and healthy and grow up into a healthy human being. And mm-hmm. I want to make a positive impact on other people's lives in terms of health and well-being and motherhood and babies. That's what I care about.
Yes.
Even if people don't remember my name.
Yep.
That's fine.
Just pay it forward. It's really about paying it forward, just passing on the information and having those relationships and those connections, and just, it's the ripple effect, and it doesn't matter who it started with or anything else, as long as it just keeps going, the positivity and the information and the help and all of that just keeps going.
Yeah. And I've listened to podcasts where they were talking about trauma and the impacts of trauma on your DNA.
Oh yeah.
So your grandmother's trauma was carried into your mother, who was carried down to you. And so I don't remember who said it. So this is not my quote. This is from someone else, but they said, if trauma can show up in your DNA, then so can healing.
I like that.
So powerful, because
that is,
we have the choice to heal. And when we heal ourselves, we're helping heal our children and their children and their children. So it can be a ripple effect that we may never see.
Right. And healing is hard work. So I think that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. It's hard to face your demons. It's hard to face the trauma. It's hard to go through all the emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to just shut it down, detach, like you've been saying.
Absolutely.
But what do we want to leave our children with and future generations of our family, other families, all of that. Do you want to go into a little bit of men standing up to advocate for women?
Yeah. I mean, I touched on it, but,
as much as you want, do or don't want to say, and then we can go into any advice you have for people listening.
Yeah. So when it comes to men standing up for women, I don't want to say man up because I don't feel like that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also think that this comes into parenting. And this is why I'm so passionate about parenting and the way we respond to our children, because I was actually just listening to a podcast this afternoon and they were talking about the different types of attachment and how that shows up in relationships. And so if a young boy is ignored by his parents, ignored by his mother specifically, and cries out for her, she doesn't respond, cries out for her, she doesn't respond, he learns to stop crying out to her. This is why, one of the biggest reasons why I am not for cry it out, never will be. And I'm never going to advocate for it or tell you that it's okay because I don't agree with it. But it starts there, right? And so we're talking about detachment. And so then that young infant toddler stops crying out, and then it gets perpetuated. So then when they do start crying or showing any sort of emotion, a lot of boys are told to stop crying, to man up, which is why I don't say that. And because of that, they hold all of their emotions inside. So they're avoiding their emotions. That's what they're told by their parents. And so over and over and over again, and then that's how they're literally how they're raised. And then that impacts every single relationship. And so then they think, okay, if I do speak up, I'm not going to be heard, or I'm going to be immediately shut down. So that can show up in your intimate relationships between husband and wife. And it's like men are afraid, not all men. This is not all men, but it's, we are lacking alpha males in our society. And I think it's something that I struggle with personally, and why I definitely have a bit more fire and rage about it, is because I am like a full blown alpha female. I don't want to be, but I am right now because I have to be.
Yes.
And it it, for me, like when I see men have the opportunity to stand up for women and to fight for women and children, and they don't, I want to shake them. But it mm-hmm. has to do with detachment, and it has to do with their attachment styles or lack thereof. And so, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's choice, but we really need more men. I will always say that we do need more men
to stand up. And I've seen that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I've seen that in my work. A lot of my students do not have their fathers in their lives, and I can see through their behavior how it has impacted them.
Right.
And how they respond to that.
So, and it's not even standing up to advocate for women. It's also just genuinely like being a parent and being there.
Yes.
Being there.
Especially
physically.
Dads for daughters. I mean, dads of sons. Yes, of course. But dads for daughters. Oh my gosh. The girls desperately want their fathers.
Yep.
They want their fathers. And then when they get older, they are just looking for any boy to fulfill that.
And then they're making the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to help unravel with a lot of our teenage girls. I tried to unravel a lot of that, and I couldn't. I mean, there's only so much you can say. They're still going to make their choices, because you can't get to the depth that you need to go in that time.
Yeah. And I think it's a part of the healing journey. I mean, mm-hmm. I lived that. So I understand that, and I'm realizing that now, and I'm 31. So
you're so young.
It's a part of your journey.
You're so young. So before we hop off, since we just talked about that, what advice do you have for parents out there of littles, elementary, middle, high school, like from all your experience that you've seen from pregnancy and birth on up, what advice do you have for parents? What do you want them to know to equip them, help them, inform them?
One thing.
That was a loaded question.
I honestly would say, do your internal work and heal first, because that changes your whole life and it impacts the trajectory of your life and your children's lives and everyone around you.
Yeah.
You have to heal. You have to. And again, it's a choice not to. So there may be points in times where you are not ready to. So sometimes capability wise, you're not there yet,
mm-hmm.
but you always have the choice to take steps towards healing yourself. And I'm not just talking about mentally and emotionally, like it's all the things. Health is not just one thing. Like you could be working on healing yourself emotionally, but if you're not taking care of yourself physically, it's not going to do anything.
Right.
Or vice versa. Nutritionally, you could be doing all the right things, but if you're not taking care of your mental health, that's not going to matter.
Absolutely.
So genuinely, heal, take the time to heal, take the time to feel and process your feelings, like let yourself feel them. Don't keep them in, because it's a ripple effect. Like we've said, it's just, you have to do it. It may be uncomfortable. It may feel hard. It may feel brutal at times, but on the other side, once you get to that other side, it's freeing.
Yeah.
It's freeing.
That's a good word.
Yeah. And so I would say do the work to heal, really tune into, just become more in tune with yourself, what feels right deep down in your gut and your intuition. And also just respond to your babies. Please respond to your babies.
Yes. No matter how old they are, really.
Literally. If your child wants to come snuggle with you when they're 28, let them come.
Yes. Oh. Well, I had an excellent time. I loved talking to you. I'm going to keep obsessively following you, and hopefully I can have you back on and we can dive into like what, maybe one topic and like really focus on that. Cause this I know is really broad and it covered a lot of stuff and a lot of work that you're doing, but
I would love that.
Great time. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice. It's always so nice to talk to people who just like get it, because then you leave the conversation feeling so positive and not drained.
Yes.
It's really, really wonderful. So thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. And I will talk to you soon.
Yay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that episode. I hope you had a lot of takeaways from it. And whether you agree with everything or some things that Olivia shared, or whether you didn't, I just hope that you enjoy listening to her and getting to know her as much as I did. And it's just always great to have an open mindset and listen to other people's perspectives, even if you don't agree entirely with what they're sharing. But I really do hope you check out her podcast, Be Loud About What Matters. Go over there. And remember that if you're having any parenting struggles or issues, I'd love to help you out with that. I offer a free 30-minute consult, and you can find that link in the show notes. You can also find a free self-care guide that I've created for you, for all parents, not just the mamas, but for the dads who are working so hard for their families as well. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter if you haven't already. I share weekly parenting tips to keep you updated on the podcast and everything else that's going on in our life. And you can also check out the Authenticate website, join the private Facebook group. I did change my Instagram name from Authenticate22 to Authenticated Mama. So you can find me under there on Instagram. And you can also find me, I've joined Facebook or Instagram Threads. So you can find me on Threads. You can find me on Facebook. You can join the Facebook group. I'm everywhere. So again, I hope you guys had a great time listening. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for your support. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Please share this episode with someone who you think would enjoy it and could benefit from it. And I will see you guys later.